Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
I say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Hallelujah. So we all believe all things are possible, don't we?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all look so good. We have been talking previous weeks about what we're experiencing even right now. And that is unleashing the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So actually, we had 11 installments of that. So if you really want to know how to do it, go to the Media Center, get the series, and let it ring in your spirit. Today we're talking about something different. Who likes change? But who wants change? So this is change. Now, listen, let me clarify. Some people interpreted the change as money. No. We're talking about change. But the interesting thing is that more people raised their hand that wanted change than people that liked change. So it tells me that some of you all understand that change is necessary, but you don't necessarily like change. But sometimes that's a bad thing because there's some changes that need to be made and you don't like them, but he's calling you to them. And so we got to find out what the difference is. The only reason I teach a series is because sometimes there's so much information there that I might not get to everything. But you know, this is one of those messages that, you know, we can kind of sum it up now, because there's some things that he wants to do in our lives, but we're not allowing his change to take place, because some of the changes that he's calling y'all to, you don't like it. And it's a letting go that happens with that. And sometimes you just gotta let go of stuff, you know? I mean, there's some change that, you know, we're trying to hold on to it, you know, and then when we lose it, we mourn the change. Like, oh my God, you know, one of the things, I mean, there's changes that have happened in my life. I do mourn some of those changes. One of them is my hair. I mourn the loss of my hair. But I had to what? I had to let it go. When it had to go, what? Now, there are some folks that won't let it go. And so much so that they'll put a toupee on and all of that stuff. And I'll look at them folks and I'll be like, oh, they couldn't let it go, could they? But there's some stuff like that. You're trying to hold on to it. You're trying to put some stuff on. And Yahweh has said, let that go. So we need to find out what he is calling us to. Let's go. And the reason why I'm saying Holy Spirit is moving in this direction, because, you know, a lot of churches, they will start what's called a fast in January. And I mean, that's cool and all, but you don't even know what the year is shaping up to be. So you really need to step into that transition, and then, you know, you find out how that year is going, and then he calls you to kind of make some adjustments. Who's making adjustments? All y'all need to be making. adjustments. And so Yahweh, I believe, has called us to a fast. So we're going to do what's called a corporate fast, where it's a chain fast. We're all fasting at different times, and one group takes up, and we've done it before in the past, but there's a lot of things that we need to fast for. Because when you fast, the natural man has to step back, right? Because you give that natural man, your flesh want to eat, right? When you're hungry, he's like, pull over now and eat, right? And so a lot of times we're controlled by the what? The flesh. So what the fast does, it puts the flesh under subjection. Even the apostle said, I put my body under. That's what he said. Because sometimes you got to put your body under, because your body be wanting stuff that it ain't got no business wanting. And a lot of times we try to sexualize the sins, but if you keep on going in and out four times a week, you operating in the same kind of not being temperate. You ain't got no self-control. You know good and well you don't need to be eating in and out. Somebody's like, don't look at me. I'm not looking at you. I just see a sea of people. I'm not zeroing in on nobody. But you know. And so something you gotta tell your neighbor, tell your neighbor you know. Whatever that is, you know. I don't know what your struggle is. I know what mine is. And so I had to, you know, I had to deal with those things. I got a chocolate struggle. Know anything that's chocolate? I have, you know, I find it hard to resist. But I have to put my body what? Some of y'all need to look at that stuff and say, that cake or that brownie or that cookie looks better on the plate than it does on me. And say no. So this is what we're talking about. And a lot of times we look at change as being bad. But it's not a bad thing. Let's go to Proverbs. And if you're a Hebrew scholar, because what we're going to do is we're going to understand what these changes are that he's calling us to. And he wants us to hope for things. He wants us to do that. He wants us to desire an outcome, a favorable outcome. He wants us to have vision or goals and plans. Because a lot of times, you know, we just live life willy-nilly. And you as a believer should not be living your life willy-nilly. You should have some goals and some plans and some vision. Because the word says without a vision, what? The people, what? Perish. So he wants us to have those things. But if you've ever been in a situation where you haven't yet obtain that change that you wanted, and sometimes it seems hopeless, and people are like, well, you don't want it bad enough. Well, sometimes it's not that you don't want it bad enough. You want it bad, but you just don't know how to get there. So hallelujah for Yahweh, who provides the ability for us to be able to what? Get there. Because what happens is that if we can't get there, we kind of fall into something that's called like a depression. Anybody ever experienced that? When you just can't get past it and you're just like, oh, it's hopeless. Well, he knows how you might be able to feel. Just like we were saying today in the communion. He knows. You serve a God that he knows. He's compassionate enough to know what you've what? Going through. Right? And so because he knows what you're going through, he's providing those things for you to get through. So Proverbs 13, 12. And again, if you're a Hebrew scholar, Proverbs is what? We love to use Hebrew names. As you know, we use the name Yeshua instead of Jesus because Yeshua is the original name. Jesus did not come to 1611. So we're about truth here. If you don't understand why they saying Yeshua and why they saying Yahweh, Google it. I'm just saying. Google it. I can truly say that. And then you can look up Jesus in the Merriam-Webster dictionary or whatever dictionary, and guess what you'll find? Yeshua. So do that. Because we believe that you're supposed to study to show yourself approved. Not me, not the apostle, but you've got to study to show yourself approved. So when we go to Mishlei of Proverbs 13, chapter 12, verse, it says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Well, that's the situation that we're talking about. If there's something that we're hoping for, we're trying to, you know, change, or we're desiring that, and if we keep on putting it off, what happens? The heart gets what? You start to get depressed and down and stuff, and he knows that. But he says, but when the desire cometh, when he is moving in that, because that what the desire is the when you look at the Hebrew meaning of desire, it's his power that's mixed in with that. It is a what? Tree of life, right? So he wants us to desire the things that he wants for us. Because he tells us in scripture, I know the thoughts I have towards you, or the plans, right? See, he knows what he should be doing, right? How many of you have been in a situation where you did not know what the heavens you were doing? Well, that's why you got your God. He guides you out of that darkness, right? That's what he does if you let him. If you let him. So when we're looking at this, he knows. So let's go to Ecclesiastes. I've used this scripture before many times. But when we're talking about change, there are different Hebrew words that tell you what kind of change it is, right? We just think change. It's something different. I don't want different stuff, you know? But sometimes different is what? Better. And so when we go to Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, the first verse, it says, to everything, there is a season. And we understand in the Hebrew study, it's called the Mo'adim, which is the appointed time. So there are different seasons. There are different changes that he ordains and that we should receive, right? Because there's different seasons in your life that he has ordained. And so when we understand that, we can kind of release more. And that's what he's really calling us to release some stuff, to let go of some stuff, understanding that what? There's a season and a time to every purpose, what? Under the heaven, right? The second verse says, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is what? There's a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. What is this telling us so far? There's times where some things are appropriate. Listen, change also denotes maturity. Spiritually, some of us have been babes way too long. I mean, when you first get saved, you're a babe. But some of y'all are doing stuff, you 20 years old in the spirit. Literally. You've been saved for 15, 10, 20 years, and you're still doing baby stuff. Let me give you something that's going to help locate you. When somebody at church says something to you that maybe you didn't like, and you took it personal, then you start acting out, maybe you won't even come to church. Maybe you won't even talk to that person. You want to lamb blast that saint. You want to give them a piece of your mind. Well, let let me just do a side note of giving somebody a piece of your mind. If you give too many people a piece of your mind, you're not going to have any mind left. Because they're going to drive you, if you let them, they will drive you crazy. So let me go back to the subject. So you tripping because somebody said something to you. So you stop going to church. Anything. If you have been saved more than 5 years or so, and you are acting like that, you acting like a baby. That should locate you to let you know you have not matured in your salvation. And the whole point is he's telling us, he's calling us that we have to what? Grow up. Who wants a 20-year-old baby? Some of y'all, should I say it, Holy Ghost? I'm going to say it. By 20-something, you should have your own house and your own thing going on and your own job and your own way of supporting yourself and your own ability to pay your own bills. But if you're still up in Mama and Em's house, I mean, are you doing all that you're supposed to be doing? Have you matured to that level? But say, hey, okay, you're living in Mama's house. Okay, maybe financially it works out. But that means you need to be giving Mama and Em rent. All right, I got some supporters. Right? I mean, if you're going to live there and say you can save money, guess what? The rent that you give them cannot compare to the rent that you're going to have when you buy yourself. So you have the nerve to, when they ask you to even do something, if you ain't going to pay no rent, just take out the trash. You mad. I don't know why he's pulling me in this direction. But do you understand what we're saying? You're not maturing. If you can't understand that you're saving money by being at home, they paying most of the bills, and all they asking you to give you $250. Give me $250. Give me $300. Give me $400. You can't find no place for no $400 a month. If you do, let a brother know. You got to take responsibility. But guess what? Your salvation is the same way. There's some stuff that he's calling us to. But you can't do it because you're still acting like a baby. There's some purpose and some vision that he's given us, but you can't receive it because you're still sucking on Similac spiritually. So he's calling us higher. He's giving us more responsibility. Well, he ain't come through yet. Well, you ain't come through yet. So he's saying that there's a time. Listen, I'm telling y'all, yeah, there's a time. There's a time you suck on the bottle, but now I need you to eat some meat. All right, and it's just not good. So it says, the fourth verse says, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. Fifth says, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Come on now. Sometimes you got to refrain from embracing. There's a time for it. Sixth, a time to get and a time to lose. Right? Let it go. Tell your neighbor, let it go. Be frozen. Let it go. Somebody didn't get that. Remember that song? Who's seen the movie Frozen? My daughter said, and she saw that movie, and she kept playing that song. Let it go, let it go. She kept saying over and over again. But we got to what? Let it go. And so it says that the sixth verse says, time to get, time to lose. A time to keep, time to cast away, a time to rend, tear something up, and a time to what? Sow it. A time to keep silent? Somebody needs to get that. A time to shut your mouth and a time to open it. See, the times that we should be opening our mouth and speaking the word, we keep our mouth shut. Then the time we should keep our mouth shut, we saying stuff. Tell your neighbor, it's time. Whatever it is, it's time. Right. So a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war, time of peace. What profit he that worketh in wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which Yahweh has given to the sons of men to be exercised. What? In it. I love this part. He hath made everything beautiful in, say, his time. When it's in his time, it's what? So if it's not in his time, it's what? Thank you. It's the opposite. If it's not in his time, it's ugly. It's not what he's ordained. But when it is in his time, it's what? Who wants beautiful things? Oh, yes. Who wants ugly things? Somebody raised their hand and they put it back down again. I'm telling y'all, I'm throwing out some curveballs. So that also he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that Yahweh maketh from the beginning to the end. And so what he's trying to tell us is that there's some times that he's calling us to, right? Now, one of the Hebrew words for what we consider change is called ma'avar. Say ma'avar. Ma'avar means not necessarily totally change, but it means transition. So if you look, stop looking at change as a dirty word. But look at how the Hebrew word has ordained what's called transition. That is the kind of shift. And so sometimes he's shifting us, getting us ready for the total change, but he knows we ain't ready sometimes for the total thing. So he starts to what? Shift. He's allowing us to what? Cross over. Or what? Pass through. Now, the beautiful thing about ma'avar, it's a root word for ivri. I-V-R-I. And what is ivri? Hebrew. So, if ma'avar means to transition or cross over, and the root ivri or Hebrews, that means that the Hebrews are the people that allow Yahweh to cross them over or transition them. And the way they look at that is if you do not allow him to cross you over or transition you, then you're out of him. Because he wants a people that he can move. Come on. Come on. Did you get that? He don't want people that are immovable. He wants people that are lucid enough to his will to what? Guess what the Hebrews or the Ivri did when they saw the cloud by day? They what? Hey, when they saw the fire by night, what they do? Now, he's saying, I want you to move when I move. Right? So if you don't move when he moves, you're not at the mo'adim or the appointed time. See, he wants to do something with you. He wants to bless you. He wants to elevate you, but you got to be at the right point in time. So you got, Yahweh is doing a ma'avar in your life, and you say, no, I don't want to go. But then you praying for him to do stuff. But he's saying, I can't do it unless you move with me. So it's a shift, a transition. So stop looking at change as messed up. Ma'avar is a good thing. Ma'avar is ordained by Yahweh. It is a shift. Right? So I want to move. I want to shift when he says shift. Right? It reminds me of, I saw the show of people who don't want to throw stuff away. Hoarders. They don't want to let go. And then they have a house full of stuff. They got rooms full of stuff that they can't seem to what? Let go. And they keep on saying, what do they say when they say, hey, why aren't you throwing that away? What do they say? I might. Well, some of y'all doing that. You got garages. You got storage unit. Listen, y'all got storage unit that you done had for 20 years. And you ain't never been there to take anything out of it. You just been there to pay for it, pay for the bill. Or you got stuff in the garage. You can't even get your brand new car in the garage because you got so much stuff. You can't even pray in your prayer closet because your closet is full of stuff. Listen, brothers, you like, you know, older and you have some 28 pants. I'm here to tell you, you probably won't get back in your pants. Sisters, come on. If you got some size 2 or 4 dresses that you had, and you say, hey, I might be able to get back into this one day. I'm here to tell you, let it go. Get something new. Don't worry about the old stuff. Hey, listen. If it's going to bring you down to a 2, he'll give you something new in the 2. But you got to what? The old stuff, you got to what? I let it go. And what he was saying in that, because some of the stuff that we're holding on to does not promote growth. You can't even get new stuff because you got all the old stuff. So there's something that he's trying to move us to, but we got to be open for the change and the adjustment. Now, he does have another word for change, but let's go here. Go to Hebrews or Evrim. Hallelujah. The 12th chapter. I might need it. I'm going to need it later. All kinds of stuff. Junk. I'm going to sell it. Nobody want that. Nobody. Other people have moved on. They don't want that. There's this commercial now that I see on TV. It's called Let Go, isn't it? And these people are like, they holding on to stuff. And they have another person there that's like, Mom, just let it go, you know, just sell it or whatever. Somebody might buy it, but somebody might not. You got to let it go. But here in this scripture, 12 chapter, first verse, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us do something. Lay aside some of the ways. There's stuff that's hindering y'all. Listen, you have gotten yourself into a routine of sorts. So much so that there's some stuff that you do that, you know, it's just not productive anymore. Why always go to the Red Lobster on Friday? I always get my donut from the donut shop on Tuesday. I'm always going to Taco Tuesday. Well, maybe you don't need Taco Tuesday. You got to evaluate all the stuff that you do, because then you say, I ain't got no time to go to Bible study or prayer. But wait. But you're going to Taco Tuesday on Tuesday. And then you go to Taco Tuesday on Thursday because they have a Thursday Tuesday or Thursday taco. I'm saying you get stuff in your head. But if we were so dogmatic about the things of the spirit, of the things of Yahweh, then we are the things of the world. Wow. There's some stuff that would really happen in our life. I mean, how many of us, oh no, I got to go to Bible study. I got to go. Oh no, I got to go to prayer. I can't be late. Then let me say, oh, you know, they're in Long Beach now, so they're too far away. But you live in LA, but you go to Huntington Beach for the tacos. At 7 o'clock. Because you prioritize. Does anybody want to go higher with him? Anybody want to go move with him? So, understanding this, he told us to lay aside every what? Wait. So there's some stuff that we need to what? Did he say he was going to lay it aside? It's our job. Let us what? And why are we laying it aside? And the sin which does so what? Then it's interesting. He says, lay aside every weight and the sin. So sometimes it's not just sin. It's stuff that you do that's just not productive. It's a weight. Right? And it keeps you from the things of him. And it says, and let us what? You can't run with weight. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? If you want to run, you gotta be freed up, right? You can't take all that stuff. And let us run with what? Patience, the race that is what? Set before us. And so, looking unto who? Who is the what? Say Yeshua is the author. What does that mean? He wrote it. He started it. He knows chapter and verse. So let him look to him. Lay aside the weight and what? Look to him, because he's already got this thing. If he's the author, he's already got this thing figured out. Hallelujah. You don't have to try to figure it out. He's already got it what? Figured out. And so he says, he is the author and finisher of our what? Faith. Let's go to the next word, which is Hailu. Say Hailu. The CH is not pronounced in the Hebrew. It's and that means change. Guess what kind of change this means? It means to move on in the way that grasses sprout anew after the old sproutings have dried up and what? Passed away. The word is called pruning. What does that mean? Pruning means you have to what? Take stuff away. If you want the rose bush to grow, you gotta what? Prune it. Guess what? A rose bush produces more buds than it can sustain. So you have to decide which ones are going to flourish and which ones gotta be what? Cut off. So Yahweh is trying to prune. He's trying to direct us to prune stuff. There's some stuff that we got to what? cut it off. We got to let it go, right? And so he's talking about transitions, and he's talking about pruning or moving on, right? If you don't prune it, the good stuff can't grow. So if you prune it, that means that the rose bush or whatever it is can be the best that it could possibly be. And when you got Yahweh as your gardener, come on now. You letting him shake you, make you, mold you, prune you. So some of y'all, he's trying to prune you, and you say, oh, no. Not that. Don't take away my this. All y'all got something that needs to be pruned. I'm going to encourage you. Tell your neighbor, let him prune it. Because we understand that these things are ordained of Yahweh. So, yeah, y'all, there's some people that you got to let him prune away from you. There's some toxic people. Now listen, but he called me to love. I think that they got potential. They got potential to mess up your life. Let them go. And he's saying, no, that's not the one. But he got potential. He got potential to be po. He's called us to love. Yeah, but I love you, but that don't mean I got to hang out with you. He didn't call us to hang out. He called us to love. Let me tell you how. I got relatives that I love. But we don't talk all day, every day. I don't even see them all because they may be out of town or whatever. But I can still what? Love them. There's some folks next door that you need to love that way. There's some folks in your life you need to, guess what? We can love from a distance. I love you, but, you know, I don't need to hang out. Because, see, what you try to do is you try to take me to the place that has the big green plus sign on it, cross on it. Somebody got it. Somebody say, oh. Hey, you don't mind if I light up right now, do you?
Yeah.
No, you don't. You might not mind. Somebody y'all say, yeah, go ahead. I know you need it. But guess what? You're getting secondhand high. Maybe you want it. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that there are influences. And because we understand that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, those influences is not just the people, it's the spirits trying to influence you to pull you out of where you need to be. This is the game. Are you ready for the game? The game is, the enemy is saying, hey, how can I intercept their mo'adim? How can I get them off the mark from their appointed time before they get there so they can be blessed? So the game is, I'm going to distract brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so so that when the mo'adim come, they're not anywhere near. You going to let some devil in hell make you miss out on your blessing, on your overflow, on your breakthrough? Because you don't want to let something go? What's Matthew? What is wrong with you that you will allow a devil, a spirit, an imp, to take you away from what Yahweh has ordained and planned for in your life? Yahweh, I don't want to let it go. I might need it later. Give me the answer. Yahweh, I don't want to let it go. I might need it later. What's the answer? Let it go. Yahweh, I mean,
may come in handy sometime.
Why are you holding on to all that stuff? Hey, if Yahweh is going to elevate you, if Yahweh is going to move you, if Yahweh's giving you vision, then he's going to give you the provision for the vision. So you ain't got to hang on to no old stuff. I serve a God that can provide new stuff. So here, there's a scripture that will help you. For you hoarders. Spiritual hoarders. That's holding on to some old stuff that he told you to let it go. Go to Luke. I'm going to leave you with that there. Come on, y'all. I'm emotionally attached to the past. He called you to faith, not emotion. He wants you to be attached to the heavenly things. And Luke 17, to the hoarders out there, 17:32 says this. Ready to go? Remember Lot's wife. Do I need to bring somebody up on who Lot's wife was? See, Lot's wife, they were called out of a place called Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, if you just let go, leave the place. Leave the place, follow me, and don't look back. He says, that's all you got to do. I'm about to save your life. And so I save your life. Keep looking forward. Don't look back. Guess what Lot's wife did? And when she looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt. Ooh, y'all, if that happened today, I wouldn't need to get no Mortons. We would have salt for days, everywhere, for a lot of folks. But thank Yahweh for his grace and mercy that he ain't providing salt like that today. But simply he said, when you get to a point where you can't leave the things that I've told you to let go, I need you to remember Lot's wife. Remember what happened to her. Remember that she cared more about the emotional ties. And I don't know what she had back there in Sodom and Gomorrah. But it wasn't worth her turning back from the things that Yahweh had for her if she just kept on moving forward. So I'm going to leave y'all with this. Yahweh is shifting you. He is transitioning you. He is, with razor precision, revealing to you what that is that you need to let go of. You let go, he's Yahweh Yireh. He's the God that provides. He's El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. Everything that we could possibly need, we find in him. So I'm begging you, as we approach this fast in April, first day of April, midnight, I believe it's a Saturday night, we're going to start this fast. And as we're preparing to do that, go through self-examination. Say, yeah, but whatever it is that I need to do better, show that to me. Whatever I need to let go, show that to me. Whatever people don't need to be in my life or influences, show me that. The things that I need to stop doing or the things that I need to start doing, show me that. I guarantee you, all the things that he has ordained for 2017, come on, y'all. There's some stuff that he's ordained for 2017 for you. But you have to what? go. While you're here, Father Yahweh, right now, our desire is for you to take control of our life. You said in your word that Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith, our desire is to put it in the hands of the author and the finisher of our faith. That we would not have to look to the left or to the right, but we will focus on the things that you have designed, that you have ordained for us. That you will remove the veil from our eyes, that we can clearly see. That you will open our ears, that we can clearly hear you. That you will lead us into the land, the Ma'avar that you have ordained us to cross over into. The blessing, the overflow, the elevation. That's our desire. So right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, help us. Lead us in this process. We give you the glory in Yeshua's name. Come on, keep your hip out. Really quickly, I want to open up the opportunity for those who say, hey, I want this relationship. I want to be in the appointed time. I want to be in the Mo'adim for my life. And I can't do it myself because I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Well, guess what? You serve a God that knows what tomorrow brings. And there's two people that I want to impress this upon today. The first is a person that has not ever had the experience. They have not initiated their relationship with the Savior. That is available to you today. Salvation is available. Transformation is available. Many of us have already lived our lives a certain way until we came to the point where we realized we could not live that way anymore. And we had to rely on Him. He elevated us. He transformed us. If that is your experience, if that's your testimony today, you're saying, I want that. I want that relationship. I know He's calling. We can pray for you. And the way that you let us know that you want that is to raise your hand and we'll pray for you today. You see, I want that relationship. I want to start that relationship with the Savior today. I've heard His voice through the Word and this experience in the Spirit today. And I want that. I want that peace of mind. If you want that in your life, raise your hand and we'll pray for you today. This one. Maybe the next person I'm calling has had the relationship, but they've drifted away. They have become distant from the Savior. And He's calling you back. We call that restoration. And if you want to be restored back to your place of power, your place of authority, He's calling you today. And if you want that, all you have to do is raise your hand and we'll pray for you for that. Who wants restoration today? Just raise your hand. And for any of these things that we've called out today, hallelujah. If you want that today, raise your hand. We'll pray for you. Everybody keep your head bowed. Because the enemy tries to say, hey, I don't want to raise my hand because people are looking. Don't worry about that. Get what you have coming to you today from the Father. So if you fit any of those two situations, just raise your hand right now and we'll pray. Any of those two, raise your hand and we'll pray. Father Yahweh, we thank you. Praise you for opportunity. The opportunity to hear from you, the opportunity to be led by you. And for those who maybe should have raised their hand but didn't, provide another opportunity. Keep them, protect them, watch over them. Keep ministering to them the importance of a change of life, Father. We thank you for what you do in our lives. We thank you for everything you provide. In Yeshua's name, Amen and Amen. Let's give y'all some praise. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. There is something that I forgot to mention.